This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, more controversy for the defense contractor Blackwater. Senate Democrats failed to pass yet another Iraq amendment. A march in Jena, Louisiana, attracted thousands of protesters demanding consideration for the group of teenagers that's become known as the Jena Six. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore is observing Yom Kippur today, so we're pleased to be joined by our friend Robin Wright from the Washington Post correspondent there. Thanks very much for being with us.
Always nice to be with you.
And let's begin with the Blackwater, which, of course, responsible for some security operations in Iraq, was involved most recently in a controversial shooting in which several Iraqi civilians were killed. There are reports today that federal prosecutors are investigating whether Blackwater employees illegally smuggled weapons into Iraq that may have been sold in the black market and ended up with terrorist organizations. Now, Blackwater released a statement today denying the allegations. First, what do we know of that story? And then, can they continue to function in Iraq with all this?
Well, the problem for the United States and for the Iraqis is there aren't enough troops to provide security. The United States depends on independent contractors. Mm-hmm. In fact, the U.S. passed a law, Order Number 17, in the early days of its occupation, giving immunity to all of these groups. And they have basically operated outside the law. Some of them are not even susceptible to the laws of a standard defense contract. With the potential drawdown of troops, the dependence on these kinds of people will grow ever greater. So Blackwater may be in trouble right now, but there are dozens of others. Four of them who were in trouble before merely changed their name and continue to operate in Iraq.
The Maliki government has been quite outspoken where Blackwater is concerned specifically, but do you see there is any kind of impasse between U.S. contractors and the Maliki government? I mean, can the Maliki government order them out?
I think they can order them out. The problem is there has to be someone to protect U.S. diplomats. You saw them all locked down in the Green Zone this week at a time that the U.S. is trying to engage in outreach in Baghdad and beyond to help reconcile. So this couldn't come at a worse time.
The Webb Amendment that would limit time soldiers could serve in Iraq was the Democrats' latest attempt to try and get some Iraqi legislation passed. There's 6 months until the next report on Iraqi policy. How, in a presidential campaign season, how do the Democrats, what do they do next? What do they say to those voters who say you would change things?
Well, the Democrats discovered that September is, in fact, not the month to try to make any kind of political gain on Iraq. There were great expectations that there would be divisions, that moderate Republicans might be willing to side with some of the Democrats. But instead, you saw three measures on allowing equal time for the troops to be at home as to be overseas, mm-hmm. on the timing of a potential withdrawal next summer, and cutting off funding again next summer. All three of them defeated decisively. That there is not the kind of momentum yet. It looks like President Bush, at least short term, has managed to buy some time. But it's also clear that it's going to be a very divisive 6 months.
Mm. I want to ask about events this week in Jena, Louisiana. Martin Luther King III, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Al Sharpton, among many others, traveled to Jena to protest what they say is disproportionately harsh treatment of six black teenagers who were charged in the beating of a white classmate. What does it say about the quality of justice?
Well, it brings up questions again about the color of justice, which is really surprising in the 21st century. This is haunting and reminiscent of the 60s and the 70s, and it goes to the issue of, do white kids who engage in things like hanging nooses and get away with suspensions?
Were initially, from what we know of reports, these were nooses that were hung from a tree where white teenagers congregated during lunch hour.
Well, in fact, there are many myths about this story. It turns out that this was not exactly just a whites-only tree, that there were kids of all other races who had gathered around it, too. So there are a lot of myths
about
it.
And we should understand it's not like an official whites-only tree. Like, we're not back in the days of, white-only drinking fountains, that sort of thing.
That's right. But this incident of the nooses and the competition for being in that area of the school precipitated a number of incidents that has led to the biggest mass black protests in decades, and not only in Little Jena, a city of less than 3,000 people, but in Detroit and Atlanta and the Philadelphia demonstrations in Washington schools.
Back to foreign policy for a moment. Are North Korea and Syria combining on developing nuclear capabilities?
Boy, this is the great mystery. What a story this is. Israel on September 6th raided or engaged in an airstrike on Syria. It is believed that this was a place where there was some kind of nuclear either equipment or nascent embryonic facility. Mm-hmm. It's very unclear. No one is talking. President Bush avoided it three times in a press conference. The Israelis are saying nothing. The Syrians are saying nothing. North Korean. The issues flow far beyond just whether there was a program in Syria. The issue is also the Bush administration's greatest foreign policy success, and that is getting the North Koreans to agree to end proliferation. And of course, if they're found to have proliferated in Syria, this undermines that whole effort.
Well, these emails we've probably both been getting saying, why don't you tell the world Fidel Castro is dead? Was the latest video showing him alive going to stop the emails?
Not only alive, but very lively. The former director of national intelligence was at the Post in December, and he said, Fidel has only a few weeks. And he's proven them wrong yet again.
You began your career in journalism reporting the University of Michigan football team. Not a good year to be a Michigan fan so far, is it?
No, and this the real news story this weekend will be if Michigan manages to beat Penn State. Go Blue.
All right. Well, thanks for that dispassionate and objective reflection. The Washington Post diplomatic correspondent, Robin Wright, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.